Good morning. Thank you all for being here today to share the Dharma together. And especially welcome to our seminar participants from yesterday. These teisho, which we give as part of the sitting on most Sundays, are not talks in the usual sense. They're not sermons. They are attempts by a teacher to present and embody the Dharma as nearly as it can be done in words. Robert Aitken Roshi translates teisho as the presentation of the shout. In listening to a teisho, listen with your whole body, mind, and heart. Open up completely. Let it wash through you like a river. But don't try to dam the river with judgments and opinion. During the teisho, it's okay to shift your posture if you feel it necessary. But please do so mindfully and quietly. And however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. This morning we'll take a look at a koan from the Wumen Quan. The word koan is Japanese and it comes from the Chinese kung an, meaning a public case. The koans are stories and accounts of the sayings and doings of some of the great ancestral teachers, mostly from the Tang era of ancient China. The public aspect comes from the fact that almost all of the koans originated in talks, dialogues, and other encounters between teacher and student before all the monks and nuns in the Dharma hall of a monastery. The stories seem to be paradoxical and illogical conundrums, which when read or heard from a conventional standpoint make no sense whatever. But when seen with the open Zen eye, they are entirely logical. The job of the student is to see the koan clearly and to present his or her understanding of it to the teacher in Doksan as a concrete demonstration that is beyond any intellectual discussion or opinion. The Wumen Quan is a collection of 48 of these cases compiled by Master Wu Men. He was a Chinese master who lived during the Sung period, around the beginning of the 13th century. It is the first classical book of koans that we work on in our koan training here. Each koan in this collection consists of a main case, a brief commentary by Wu Men, and then a verse, also by Master Wu Men. This morning we'll take up case number 37, Zhao Zhou's oak tree in the front yard. The case reads, a monk asked Zhao Zhou, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? Zhao Zhou said, the oak tree in the front yard. Wu Men's commentary. If you can see intimately into the essence of Zhao Zhou's response, there is no Shakyamuni in the past and no Maitreya in the future. And then Wu Men's verse. Words do not convey the fact. Phrases do not embody the spirit of the mind. Attached to words, your life is lost. Blocked by phrases, you are bewildered. What do we say about the ancient Buddha of Zhao Zhou? Whole books have been devoted to his teachings. Yet he himself never wrote down anything. The koan, Zhao Zhou's dog, or Mu, is far and away the most commonly used initial or so-called breakthrough koan to begin the path to the Dharma. I said this earlier in another Taisho, but I think this bears repeating. Among all the great masters of the Tang era, Zhao Zhou is unique. He defies any description or category. We often think of teachers as having a certain style. Yun Men puts a question and answers it himself. Lin Ji with his shouts and blows. Zhao Zhou has no style, no manner, no method. He makes no effort to be anything. He makes no effort even to be Zhao Zhou, any more than a tree makes an effort to be a tree or a sky to be the sky. Of all the masters whose words and actions we examine for our edification, Zhao Zhou is the least enlightened. A monk asked Zhao Zhou, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" Bodhidharma is a legendary or semi-legendary ancestor monk who made the long voyage from India to China sometime in the 5th or 6th century of the Common Era. So the question, "What is the meaning of the ancestors coming from the West? What is the meaning of Bodhidharma?" is asking what is the ultimate truth of Zen? What is the meaning of life? What is the ultimate truth of me? Meanings. What is the meaning? What does it mean? What is it all about? How much of our lives do we spend thrashing around with such questions? And how much energy do we spend trying to avoid that very question? There can be a great fear of getting caught up in what does it mean or what am I? That way, madness lies. So we do everything we can to distract ourselves. There are movies, television, the internet, food, relationships, travel, sex, study, even zazen. Or we look for answers. We want answers in order to get rid of the question. How many books have been written, talks, seminars, courses ad nauseam that purport to give us answers, to give us meaning, to give our lives meaning? We invent countless gods, demons, jobs, causes, and crusades, all to give us some sort of meaning. This anonymous monk deserves credit. He comes right out with it. He has already taken a great step by acknowledging this question and facing it squarely. Each of us has taken that step or we wouldn't be here. Each of us faces that same question. Each of us asks it in our own way. In a wonderful poem, A Child's Christmas in Wales, Dylan Thomas writes about books that told me everything about the wasp except why. No, you will not find whys or meanings in books, words, thoughts, or imaginings. In fact, when I read commentaries on the various koans, I get very uncomfortable with any sentence that starts with, "This means..." What is the meaning of a koan? Or a mountain? What is the meaning of a tree or a river? What is the meaning of the sky? What is the meaning of Zhao Zhou? What is the meaning of your zazen? What is the meaning of yours or my sitting here right now? Why cross your legs and sit, sometimes for hours? If you try to explain any of this, the explanations very quickly start to sound labored and even ludicrous. There are always answers. We can invent 100 answers and 1,000 meanings, and each one just as plausible as any other, and just as temporary and fleeting. Answers and meanings are as changeable as the weather. Why? Because meaning does not lie in the reality. Meaning is something we impose upon it. And it will change from moment to moment, even as we change. What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? Yunmen replied to that question. If he had any meaning, he could not have saved even himself. And the question remains still. The question always remains. Answers are short-lived. Questions are forever. Zhao Zhou said, The oak tree in the front yard. An oak tree. Very, very long time ago, a couple of thousand years it seems like, I spent a summer bumming around Europe. At one point in England, that's what we used to call it then, not the UK, I visited the garden of one of the manor houses in Hertfordshire. The centerpiece of this huge, immaculately kept garden was a 500-year-old oak tree. The trunk had to be 8 feet in diameter. Its branches spread over a huge area, and it was vibrantly alive, dark brown trunk and limbs and brilliantly green leaves. At that first sight, for a split second, I was enthralled, speechless, completely taken over by that tree. For just that brief moment, the tree was all there was, all there needed to be. We have all had similar experiences. Sometimes in the mountains, or the sea, or some other place of natural wonder. How sad that they are so rare. In the normal course of things, they depend on circumstances, coincidence, coming upon something unexpected and extraordinary. When we encounter such experiences outside the context of practice, we forget them. Or maybe we remember them, but only as a pleasant incident. They have no real impact on our lives, because there is no understanding of their true significance. However, in the context of practice, the effect can be profound. An experience like that, whether it happens during a sitting in Zazen or in the world, reinforces and confirms what we have realized on the mat. Still, for most of us, they do not last, but that's okay. Each one deepens our realization. Wu Min, in his commentary on Mu, writes, "Facing life and death, you are utterly free, and in the six realms of existence and in the four modes of birth, you move around in a samadhi of innocent delight." Samadhi of innocent delight. This joy, this speechless, thoughtless wonder, that's how we experience the fundamental truth. Some call it emptiness or the void, but that's an unfortunate translation of the Sanskrit sunyata. It brings up images of the void as a kind of cosmic construction site, you know, with a sign on it, void, watch your step. A better term is Burton Watson's translation as boundless openness. As limited as words are, I think this boundless openness really begins to capture that feeling of innocent delight and freedom. The oak tree in the front yard. The commentators tell us that there were probably a great many oak trees around Zhao Zhou's little monastery. Does that really have anything to do with it? Is the oak tree in the front yard really about an oak tree? Is this oak tree Zhao Zhou's teaching? He might have said, the Coke bottle in the fridge, or the dog poop on the front lawn. But in this moment, the oak tree in the front yard. The oak tree in the front yard is Zhao Zhou in this moment. There's some very nice trees just outside our zendo here. Sometime when you step outside, see the tree. Put your hand on it. Feel the roughness of the bark. Smell the earth and the wood. Hear the wind in the branches, the song of the birds, the filtering of the sunlight through the leaves of the needles. Let the tree take you over. In that moment, in this moment, the tree is all there is, all there needs to be. If you truly see this tree, not just with your eyes, but with your whole being, then you truly see everything. Alan Watts once observed that there is more spirituality in a tomato than in such phrases as Buddha nature pervades the whole universe. This physical world, as it is our entryway. It is the front gate. By seeing form clearly, we see its boundless openness. And this relative, the relative and the absolute, are not separate. For as it is whole and complete, the sense world is enlightenment, says Sung Tsang on the verse of the face mind. Can you add anything to this tree? Can you take anything away? It is whole and complete in and of itself. Can you add anything to your practice of Zazen? Can you add anything to your breath? To your mu? Can you take anything away from it? If you truly see your sitting, your practice, not just with your eyes, but with your whole being, then you truly see everything. Is your practice separate from the tree? Is your practice separate from yourself? Are you separate from the tree? Are you separate from your zazen? Is the tree separate from your zazen? Is that even possible? Separation is illusion. In your zazen, do not withdraw into mu or into the breath or into the counting or into the sitting as some place of isolated splendor. That is delusive sitting. Let the 10,000 things come forth and confirm the self in the largest sense. Let everything be. Don't pursue, do not reject. This is practice. The mindfulness that goes beyond mindfulness. There are those who scoff at the notion of a mystical union. But the very term religion comes from the Latin re ligare, to reconnect at the very deepest level. It is here that you see clearly all in all. Everything is real, everything is true, says Dogen. This oak tree is true beyond truth, real beyond reality or unreality. It is the truth and the gateway to the truth. It is boundless openness. So is a finger, or a staff, or a cat, or a water bottle. In order to see this koan clearly, you cannot grasp. No one can grasp. Don't try to grab onto the oak tree. Don't try to understand it in an intellectual sense. Just open up. Let the tree enter you, and you will naturally enter the tree, even as you enter into mu, or the breath, or just sitting. Wu Min's commentary. If you can see intimately into the essence of Zhao Zhou's response, there is no Shakyamuni in the past and no Maitreya in the future. Shakyamuni is a historical Buddha who lived and taught around the 5th century before the Common Era, the Buddha of this world cycle. Maitreya is the Buddha of the next world cycle. He's scheduled to show up in around 5 billion years or thereabouts. If you can see intimately into the essence of Zhao Zhou's response, there is no Shakyamuni in the past, no Maitreya in the future. One could reverse that. The day that for you there is no Shakyamuni in the past and no Maitreya in the future, that is the day that you will see intimately into the essence of Zhao Zhou's response. No Shakyamuni in the past, no Maitreya in the future. And what of the oak tree? To paraphrase Vimalakirti, if it exists in the past, it is already finished. If it exists in the future, it will never arrive. If it is in the present, it does not abide. So where will you find Zhao Zhou's oak tree? Where does this oak tree exist? Where do you exist? Past? It's gone. Future? Never gets here. Present? Abides nowhere. When the mind truly comes to rest, where is past? Where is future? When we realize that oak tree, it is beyond considerations of time and space. Wu Min's verse. Words do not convey the fact. Phrases do not embody the spirit of the mind. Attached to words, your life is lost. Blocked by phrases, you are bewildered. Well, this is a verse that could apply to any koan or to any aspect of our practice, for that matter. Words do not convey the fact. Phrases do not embody the spirit of the mind. No. Speech, words, phrases don't convey anything. There is nothing to convey. Well, gee whiz, then what about the oak tree in the front yard? Why did the master open his big yap? Did Zhao Zhou really say the oak tree in the front yard? Did he say anything at all? It is said that during his entire career, the Buddha did not speak a single word. But if Zhao Zhou did not speak, what is this oak tree in the front yard? In his commentary on this koan, Robert Aitken Roshi relates the following story. Fa Yen asked Zhao Zhou's disciple, Wei Jiao, about it. I have heard that your master had a saying, the oak tree in the front yard. Is that correct? Wei Jiao said, no. Fa Yen said, anyone who has been around will say that a monk asked him about the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West, and that he answered, the oak tree in the front, in the courtyard. How can you maintain that he didn't say it? Wei Zhao said, he really didn't say that. Please, don't slander him. The Buddha said, if any say the realized one preaches any doctrine, they are slandering the Buddha. And Wei Ning adds a commentary to that. If you say the Buddha has a doctrine, you are slandering the realized one. The Buddha did not have a doctrine. Zhao Zhou did not have a saying. And again, Wei Ning writes, the Sutra of Vimalakirti says, real teaching involves no preaching, no giving orders. Listening to the teaching involves no hearing and no grasping. How can we understand Zhao Zhou without slandering him? Zhao Zhou is not directing, teaching, or preaching. The oak tree in the garden comes forth as the sun breaks through a cloud or as a shoot sprouts from the ground. How will you receive it? Is there someone there to hear it? Is there someone there to experience the tree? If so, you have missed it. Let us not slander the master. Attached to words, your life is lost. Blocked by phrases, you are bewildered. If we attach to words, we are indeed lost in the labyrinth of our own thoughts and concepts, bewildered. The greatest bewilderment of all is not to know just how bewildered we are. If you are confused and lost, and know that you are confused and lost, that's a good sign. Some of the junk is starting to fall away. So enter into bewilderment of the oak tree, into the bewilderment of your practice. Enter into bewilderment, into not knowing, with a good will. Together with all beings, we realize the way.